Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, wait a minute. I tuned in to listen to predictably drunk smart people talking about stupid things, but I don't hear the music. I don't hear the sweet sounds of Ross Baker doing his intro. Where's Matt to curse out people, and where's Sam to be sexy as hell? Well, first of all, relax. It's not that important. It's just a podcast. Second of all, we're about to get to predictably drunk, but where you are right now is in a commercial. That's right. You're trapped inside of a commercial. And why are you trapped inside of a commercial? Because Predictably Drunk, the podcast, now has sponsorship, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm here to talk to you about Amazon.com. Yes, that Amazon.com. They're now a partner here with Predictably Drunk. And now when you go to PredictablyDrunk.com and click on the Amazon.com link, it takes you right to Amazon.com and you can do all of your shopping like you always did. So all that stuff you want to buy for your beer, the beer steins, the beer glasses, the beer goggles, you can get at Amazon.com. And you can get there by going to PredictablyDrunk.com and clicking on the link. No hidden fees, no extra charges, just as simple as doing one extra click, helps out the show, keeps us free. So why not be a pal, be a good drinking buddy by clicking on the link at PredictablyDrunk.com and going to Amazon.com for all your shopping needs. Oh, and with that being said, here's the sexy, wonderful, lovely Ross Baker for the intro that you were waiting for.
You're listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things with your host, Sam Marcoux and Matt Somerville.
What is up, everybody? This is Sam Marcoux. This is Predictably Drunk. This is smart people talking about stupid things. Or in this case, for this week, it is a smart person talking about stupid things, as Matt Somerville will not be joining me. My co-host decided to go have a kid, and apparently that takes priority over being on a podcast. So whatever, Matt. But in all seriousness, congratulations to Matt, his lovely wife Stacy, and their baby boy Jack. Everybody is home, happy, healthy. Matt had to put down the beer and the microphone to go be a daddy. So we're going to give him a week off. Matt, I expect you here next week talking about all the things you hate, pissing people off, saying the F word, and all the fun things that you do on this podcast. But I'll handle it this week. And here's what's on tap for this week. I'm going to take you to an interview I did with the Tommy Lama in Las Vegas, Nevada this past weekend in the 4th of July holiday weekend. I was in Las Vegas. I decided to stop in and see the Tommy Lama, guru to the stars. He invited me into the green room, and we spoke for about 20, 30 minutes about his special that he's got going on at the Laugh Factory Thursday through Monday nights inside the Tropicana Casino and Hotel on the Strip. So we did a little interview about 15 minutes before the show. We paused it. We went out and did the thing, and then we came back and wrapped it up with another 10-minute interview. So kind of a cool interview. You get to know a little bit about Tommy, where he came from, what he's doing, and some of the stars and celebrities that he's helped along the way since he's been in Las Vegas. So a real cool interview. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, in stupid drunken news, about a man who broke out of prison. Nobody knew where he was, and they found him in a bar drinking a beer after he turned himself in. So we're going to talk about that story, as I think that's perfect for stupid drunken news. But first, on what's on tap, is I am drinking Summerfest 2016 by Sierra Nevada. This is a Czech-style lager. Very cool label. Very nice deep blue, Dodger blue type label. As everyone knows, I'm a Dodgers fan. But I am not a fan of this beer necessarily. It kind of, it's very disappointing. That's the only way I can really put it. Sierra Nevada, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of their products. I keep giving them a shot. I'm not quite sure. They're like that hot chick that you kind of want to date, but every time you hang out with them, you're like, wow, something stupid just happened, and I feel like maybe I should not anymore. Leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and in this case, quite literally. This is supposed to be a summer lager. It's supposed to be something that I'm drinking right now. I tried to drink it on the 4th of July with a hot dog, and you know what? It ruined hot dogs for me. I took a bite of a hot dog, I took a swig of this beer, and I no longer liked that hot dog. I no longer liked ketchup, mustard, cheese, chili, which was on my chili hot dog, as well as beer or anything around me. So it pretty much ruined America's birthday. And that's what Sierra Nevada Summerfest 2016 did. I cannot recommend this beer, at least not for me. I did not think it was great. Maybe I had a bad one. It's very possible. So I drank five more just to be on the safe side. And you know what? That none of them were good. So unfortunately for you, Sierra Nevada, out of Chico, California, I cannot recommend Summerfest 2016 to my audience here on Predictably Drunk. It's not a good beer. You guys could go back to the drawing board and figure that out, man. And I'm rooting for you because you do have some good beer. Like, I'm not a total hater on Sierra Nevada products. Like, I like Celebration Ale. I enjoy that. I like Ruthless Rye. I think that's a really good rye beer. But Summerfest 2016, it's not good. Not good. A lot of work, gentlemen. Needs a lot of work. So go back to Chico, lock yourself in the old dungeon there and reformulate this thing and try again next year when this thing is released as a seasonal lager once again. So with that out of the way, let's take you to the interview with the Tommy Lama, and then we'll come back after the interview, which I think you're really going to enjoy, and talk about this maniac who broke out of prison and decided to turn himself in, even though nobody knew where he was. The dude literally got away with it and decided, nah, I'm good. Outside sucks. I'm going to go back to jail. Anyway, let's talk to Tommy Lama. In fact, we talk about jails during the interview, so very appropriate. And then I'll be back afterwards to take you through this story. All right, we're sitting here in the world-famous green room of the world's famous Laugh Factory at the world-famous Tropicana Hotel and Casino in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, with my guest at the time, Mr. Tommy Lama. How are you doing, sir?
I'm fantastic. I'm here in my natural habitat in Las Vegas. This is called the afterlife.
This is harmonious with you. I'm looking at you right now. First of all, you and I met earlier this year in San Luis Obispo at the Slow Comedy Fest.
And I didn't look this good.
You did not look this good.
No, it wasn't my natural habitat.
You look rested. You look relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen a wild animal so relaxed in their natural state in my life.
Mm-hmm.
This is you.
Because I'm in contact with my spirit animals.
And what is your... You have animals. So
yeah.
You're the first person.
Well, in my show, I'm a tremendous guru. People come to my shows as a workshop experience. I treat it as a seminar. You got guys like Tony Robbins committing frauds, burning... this past week, 30 of his students burnt their feet on coals, fire walking.
I read that.
Yeah.
Not very well. Not a good guru if you're injuring your people.
No. So in my workshop, that would never happen because in my goal is to instill in you is that you should never try to do anything.
That is why you are the perfect
guest. Accept your limitations, and you're not going to burn your feet.
No.
That's what I do.
Yeah, the only way you're going to burn your feet is after the show. If you were to go outside here in Las Vegas, it is
stupid. Don't go outside.
There's no reason to go outside.
No,
you're
it's a desert.
Right.
What do you want? There's nothing to see.
I think people forget that. Like they get this thing about Las Vegas, and then they go outside and they immediately lose 10 pounds, fall over, pass out. You just see it all.
Dehydrate.
Over.
They're stupid.
They're very dumb. We're hydrating right now. I'm drinking a very obscure craft beer called Bud Light right now here on Predictably
Yeah,
Drunk.
I mean, I always add water to my scotch.
You have to hydrate. See, there you go. He's been on the show for 2 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. He's already giving solid sound life advice. You guys should be taking notes. My audience right now, take notes. Write this down. You can pause this. It's a podcast. Go get yourself a pen and paper. We'll wait. And then when you come back, just rewind and go ahead and write these down because these are gems coming from the man himself, Mr. Tommy Lama. So, Tommy, you're kind of like a superhero. I've been in town here for a couple of days, and I can't go anywhere without seeing you. You're on billboards. You're on cards, business cards. You're on posters. They've got TVs running all day showing your stuff. You're on taxi cabs. You are going places that you didn't even know you were going.
Mm-hmm.
And as a superhero, every good superhero has basically an origin story. So I'm a little bit curious as to what your origin story is, because I know you a little. I've known you for a few months now. I met you in San Luis Obispo. We were both part of the Slow Comedy Fest. And a quick, funny story. First of all, very, very well-run comedy festival, in my opinion. I encourage any comic who's listening to this, get yourself to the Slow Fest next year. I think it happens in February, if I'm not mistaken. Go there. You'll enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. Great audiences, great comics. And I was surrounded by comics, very funny people. But I saw your set, and I think I accosted you the second you came off stage and said, I want you on my show. I want to have you on my show. I think my audience needs you on this show. And I had to chuckle to myself because there's about four or five other comics there that I've known for a long time that said, well, what the hell, man? You've never asked me to be on the show. And I was kind of like, well, yeah, but you're not Tommy Lama. You can't offer anything that Tommy can. And that's why you're here. So I thank you, first of all, for allowing me to storm your green room here, which is actually green. And secondarily, being on the show, I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
It really is my pleasure, to be honest. But, you know, again, as a superhero, and like I said, you kind of are a superhero, you have to have a backstory. You have to have an origin story. So what is and who is Tommy Lama? Where did Tommy Lama come from?
Well, I'm from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Where I was aimless. I had a comedy act. I went under the name of Tommy Savitt. And I was using my gifts for evil.
Okay.
Seduction of women after the shows.
Ooh.
Not knowing their names.
Mm.
Displaced underwear.
Wow.
It was a shallow existence.
It sounds awful.
It's disgusting. And I'm ashamed of what I used to be. And avarice. I was driven by avarice. And
you're going to have to explain that to my audience. They drink a lot. You're going to have anything over
greed,
three syllables.
Greed,
there you go. Greed. One-syllable words. Thank you, Tommy.
And it's not that I didn't know any better. I was an educated man. I went to law school.
Okay.
Went to Brooklyn Law School.
Ooh.
Could have gone to Yale or Harvard had I been accepted. But be that as that it may, I went to law school. During my second year of law school, I proceeded to use my gifts in other means, in doing stand-up comedy at night. I eventually left the practice of law. I did graduate, licensed in New York.
Congratulations.
And Connecticut.
Ooh.
And I practiced. But the comedy is what I wanted to do. I didn't want to help mankind. I wanted to pursue debauchery and make people laugh in order to get what I want. Understand? It was selfishness. And I realized it was a very shallow existence. And then I changed. I had a moment, you know, you hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And I decided to, I saw the light. I saw apparitions come before me saying that I needed to change because I was also an exterminator.
So you had a lot of things
I did a lot
going
of things.
On in a previous
I was lost.
Life.
I was lost. I was soulless.
Wow.
And then I felt that you know, I killed a lot of vermin during my cockroach killing years.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a bad dream where they appeared before me and said I had to redeem myself in this lifetime if I want to make the afterlife.
So all the animals, the bugs, the insects,
yes.
The arachnids, if you will, the eight-legged insects, spiders for the audience, as well as the vermin, as you put it, the rats, the
mm-hmm.
possums, all the things that you had to take care of as a previous non-enlightened soul, they visited you in your sleep while you were sleeping. And
well, it was. I'm not telling you the full truth.
Okay.
There was a fumigation accident.
Uh-oh.
I had a near-death experience.
Oh my goodness.
Where I had this spiritual epiphany. I was in the midst of defogging.
You were defogging. So you were actually in the middle
of
a structure.
In the midst of murder.
In the midst
Mass
of murder.
Murder.
Mass murder.
Mass murder. And I then began my pursuit of enlightenment.
Okay.
And so I've been using the comedy stages as the workshops. I mean, I started at the Exxon stations. I started at the parking lots of the Motel 6. I eventually moved up to the C clubs, the B clubs, and then the A clubs. And I was traveling the road, but I felt that my biggest challenge up to date is Las Vegas. I'm here on a spiritual quest to clean this place up. Once and for all.
And how long do you think this spiritual quest is going to take you, at least this initial
one? Well, hopefully it'll just be the limited engagement of this summer. But
yeah.
I may have to roll my sleeves and stay in. And I'm doing a great job already. I'm starting to unionize the porn card slappers that you've seen, you know.
For anybody who's ever been to Vegas, you know exactly what Tommy Lama is talking about right now. If you've never been here, you see multiple people. They never talk. They never seem to talk. But they're out on the street. They're out on the strip themselves, and they're slapping their little business cards with the naked ladies on them and shoving them in your face. That's
yes.
what you're referring to right now.
Yes, and no one cares about them.
Right.
You know,
I don't. I walk right by them.
Right. And you know, if you don't start with the little people.
And they're usually very tiny. You're correct.
They are small.
Yeah.
Like, it gets very hot out here. It gets very hot out here. I say, why not? Let them wear like what they're advertising.
Very
Why don't
smart.
They walk around in thongs?
They should be able
to walk around
in thongs with stars on their nipples.
Take an adult swim in the Bellagio water fountain. Why not? You know, and what about the medical? You know, they're not coming from these cards are not coming from the most antiseptic places.
This is true. Paper cuts for everyone.
Paper cuts, right?
Yeah.
Right? And then what happens? So you see blood on your card. Now, for some people, that's an, you know, they think that comes with the with the with the service. Some people are into that kind of kink,
like a violent sort of
S&M, cutting. These are extra frills, and it's, you know, it's misleading.
It's misleading.
And then people smack these card slappers. And
it's false advertisement. You're absolutely correct.
And something else is going on. What about their feet?
They're walking
a lot, right? What about their arch support? You know, right now I'm working with Dr. Scholl's.
Dr. Scholl's,
to come up with a product for their feet. It's a Kickstarter thing. It's called Project Wounded Slappers.
Project Wounded Slappers.
Yeah.
So this project is basically arch support for all of the tiny brown people who are throwing bloody business cards with scantily clad women at us, so that they can continue to do this and that their feet are properly supported.
It's because I love.
You do,
and that's
love.
And they love to a fault. And another thing, you know, like you go to a restaurant, right? You ask the maitre d', well, should I have the lobster? Like, what do you suggest, right? Like,
right.
They know. They're knowledgeable. Like, so don't you think these card slappers should know the product they're selling? Shouldn't they sample these girls?
I think you're onto something.
Like this week, because, you know, like, okay, this blonde girl, right? How is she? And they go, I don't know. So how can you do, they can't do their job.
You're right. They're poorly misrepresented. You know, with you having a background in law, or at least as a different entity, you had a background in law. I think you're onto something. I think you really have something that is needed. It's missing. And that's the key to making a good product, regardless of what it is, whether it's a service or an actual physical good. You have to find a need and exploit it. And I think you've done that here. And thank you for sharing here on Predictably Drunk. This is phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm trying to make this an open carry place, too.
Mm.
Okay, not just the beer.
Is it not?
Not just the beer. But, you know, I think if everyone carried guns in Las Vegas, the economy would be, you know, would be booming. Because what happens? Okay, let's say you're unemployed and someone shoots you and you die, right?
That's unfortunate.
You're no longer unemployed.
That's true. Very true. You were solving unemployment.
Okay. Now, you're dead. Now, what happens to the guy that shoots you?
Well, I imagine they
go to jail. If he gets caught, what happens?
I imagine they go to jail.
Right. So now you got to build more jails.
That's true.
Right?
You're creating jobs.
Okay. Creating jobs. You need more correctional officers. Am I correct?
This is more people in prison means more people to watch.
More employment. Now, follow me here. And how do you build prisons? You need what? Concrete.
Yep.
So now the mob is making money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are people who, you know, are business entrepreneurs that are now thriving, and then maybe they'll be less hostile in the streets.
That's true. People are happier when they have money. You're correct.
Right.
You're 100% correct.
Yeah, and it just goes on. It's an endless cycle. Here, what happens? It could be a booming business here in Las Vegas, and I think even in schools, there should be open carry.
So you think the students and teachers at schools,
absolutely,
guns should be allowed just
absolutely
wide open?
Because, you know what happens? Let's say you look at Little John. He's carrying a 9mm.
Little
right?
John, personal friend of Tommy Lama's.
Right. Let's say you look at Little John, right? You know, finally, the faculty will respect him.
This is true.
They'll go, look, there's Little John. He's got a 9mm. I bet you he knows the metric system.
Look,
just because someone is carrying something doesn't mean he's going to use it. I carry condoms.
Oh, my gosh. And, yeah, I don't even know what that is. Again, you're going to have to dumb it down for my audience.
Yeah, no problem. But no problem.
So we are solving – well, I am not. I am just here. I am just the messenger here. So please don't kill me with your open carry. But Tommy Lama has solved within 20 minutes here, we have solved – issues for the formerly ununited, now united workers of Naked Card Union Local 372. We've also solved the unemployment issue in Las Vegas. We've solved the homeless issue, right? We just have people shoot them because open carry is now going to be a thing.
And then when the criminal shoots you, he's taken off the streets once and for all.
So it's safe for every time a murder.
Everything's safe, yeah. A lot of things. There's so many things that are happening on so binary levels. It's incredible.
You're like
I'm not even tapping. I just gave you a sample.
Yeah, That's a taste.
That's just the surface of what happens, the benefits of gun use.
You're like Neo from The Matrix at the end. You're like, you're seeing the green numbers. The rest of us are just seeing everyday life. You're ahead of us.
Now, doctor, I recommend that because you got your debut here. So right now, I'm going to ask for a little break.
Sure.
Because I got to listen to the the intro, and then I got to insert your intro.
Excellent.
And then we can resume.
Let's pause. Okay. You're listening to the Tommy Lama on Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. We are, once again, in the green room at the Laugh Factory here at the Tropicana Casino and Resort and Hotel, whatever we call this thing. I actually, this interview is a little bit different there, Tommy, in that we did a little bit of this right before the show. We went out. We just got enlightened by you. You just did an hour on stage. Phenomenal. Just cleansed the room, made everybody better. That's what you did. You made everybody better that just watched your show here at the Laugh Factory. How do you feel coming off stage right now?
Well, you know, I take in all their energies, so I usually leave exhausted and impure.
Yeah.
So, because I take on their pain. A lot of these people on my show, they've made a lot of mistakes in their lives.
Sure.
And as you can see, most of them were sitting next to them. So it's a burden for me. But this is the sacrifice. I have to atone. And it's about redemption. You know, like Spider-Man was about guilt.
Yeah.
Batman was the reason he was a superhero was for vengeance.
Sure.
And mine is a combination of those two.
You are guilt and vengeance
wrapped up into one. Yeah, vengeance that I felt that I got a bad deal in life. Only I was being persecuted for my killings, you know. And there was other exterminators out there, but why me? Why do I have to be guilted?
It's not fair.
No, it's not fair.
It's not fair whatsoever.
No.
What was fair is your performance out there. I mean, if you guys are in Las Vegas between now and at least until September, correct?
Yes.
If you're in Las Vegas, go to the Tropicana. It's one of the original iconic hotels here on the Strip here in Las Vegas. Go to the Tropicana. Go to the Laugh Factory. Check out the Tommy Lama Show, right? You're working Thursday through.
Yeah, so it's Thursday through Monday.
Yeah.
Thursday at 5 p.m. And look, Friday at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 5 p.m., which we had a nice, robust audience for 5 p.m. That's not, by the way, people don't realize that. That's not a joke. And Monday at 7 p.m., but getting back to the 5 p.m., look at we had a nice
that was a wonderful
audience
crowd.
For 5 o'clock.
People
incredible.
Don't understand about comedy. There's a certain mindset of time of when you go on stage, and I think you would agree with this. Usually, you know, 7 o'clock and beyond.
Absolutely.
Is when
5 o'clock
go,
is unnatural.
Okay, 5 o'clock is dinner time. We're getting ready. Mm-hmm. We're putting our face on if we're women or men in some cases. 5 o'clock start times, even if it's a Saturday, it's kind of jarring. It kind of takes you out of your norm.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a 5 o'clock start time sometimes can be a challenge, especially on a Sunday in Las Vegas. People aren't in Las Vegas on a Sunday. They're getting the hell out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you just had the audience that you had on a Sunday night in Las Vegas at 5 p.m. is a credit to you and what you're doing out there. You're doing the Lord's work. You may even be the Lord himself. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I can't argue with you. I mean, you sound so convincing and so erudite.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to Google what that means, convincing. Never heard that word. Real quick, since you are the Tommy Lama, I saw you here recently. You were with Flavor Flav.
Yes.
You were giving him advice, and I think the advice was pretty much stop that, right? Was that the advice? Stop doing that.
Let me just say this. Flavor Flav has now a second career because of me.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's a DJ.
Mm.
Okay? I gave him an alternative path to achieve his fullest potential. And he was actually this week performing at the Rock Bottom Bar in the Venetian.
Ah.
And, you know, and I got to tell you this. He's got his own. I'm plugging him right now. He's got his own fried chicken company.
Wow.
I sampled it. He's got his own stores here in Vegas. I'm not joking.
No kidding.
If you like sodium, that's the kind of chicken
sodium
you need.
Sodium is my favorite type of
it's
salt.
It's really, yeah. It's
actually
sodium flavor.
It is good. It is very good. Yeah, I've seen you with Flavor Flav. I saw you with Chris Angel, the
yes.
famous magician, right? Yes. You were hanging out with Chris Angel here recently.
Yes. And yes.
No, I was wondering how that conversation went for you.
Well, it was me coaching him.
Yeah.
You know, what he can do to get my name. Like, you know, for instance, you know, it was Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
Chris Angel, mind freak. Chris, that Cirque du Soleil, they parted ways. So I was trying to negotiate where it would be Tommy Lama's.
Yes.
mind freaks.
See, there you go. That is a life lesson. This is a capitalistic society, ladies and gentlemen. One person's downfall could be your windfall.
Right. For and example. Imagine if I was on his show.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
It would be incredible.
Yeah, it would.
There would be healing, the healing element. Because right now he's a master illusionist.
Mm-hmm.
But you leave there and you forget about it, right?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have a permanent effect.
That's true.
He's very entertaining. But now you put me there. And I read your past lives. I talk to the dead. He can't talk to the dead.
I cannot.
You saw what happened.
I watched you talk to the dead on stage.
And talking to, and I'm a pet psychic.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. I brought that owner back with her dog.
That was insane. It was insane the level of detail you knew about the people that were dead and then tying them back to their relatives. Like, how would you know that that guy had a great-great-great-great-grandfather? How would you know?
There's no way you could guess that.
It's not.
There's no way. You can't make that stuff up.
You cannot. You cannot. It was phenomenal. I enjoyed it. As a patron, as a comedian, I don't get to watch shows too often.
Right.
We watch it from backstage or we hang out in the green room with fellow comedians. We don't necessarily see the set. That was an hour of me enjoying myself, being, you know, feeling better about myself, all of it. It was fantastic. And I know we got to go. You got to go. You got things that you have to do. You have people that you have to save. My co-host, Matt Somerville, could not be here today. He had a baby. Recently, within the last week and a half, Matt Somerville, as my audience knows, works in the land of Hollywood. He works for major movie studios. He has a lot of same celebrity friends that you do, in fact. But he's a little misguided. He's a little misguided. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you have any advice that you could share for Matt Somerville as a new father to a tiny baby boy? Like, what could you say to a man who's just had his first child and has no idea what he's doing? Is there anything you can do to help him on his path?
Well, you know, when it comes to children, you know, they say sweat lodges build character.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, lock your child in the car.
You hear that, Matt? If you're listening to this right now, and I know you are, make sure that you lock your child in the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic advice. I've never done that, and that's probably why my child acts out towards
they
me.
They act out. You got to start early.
Yeah, you got to start early.
Watch how they form.
It's... Tommy, thank you very much. This has been an awesome, just fun time here in Las Vegas. Once again.
And by the way, you did a great job yourself, my friend. Thank you for setting down the pathway so my light can shine even brighter today.
What I did, ladies and gentlemen, so for those listening, I just made my debut at the Laugh Factory here at the helm of Mr. Tommy Lama himself. He decided that it would be okay for me to get on stage. So I appreciate that. I really do. I really do appreciate it. I had a great time up there. And what I thought I would do, Tommy, is show people that, you know what, not everyone who gets on stage is great, and they need to see the contrast of what you do, which is phenomenal, and then what else can happen. So I thought it was good to have those parallels there between the great Tommy Lama and the okay Sam Marcoux. So I appreciated the time on stage. I appreciate you letting me here in the green room, drinking your beer, and just enjoying this interview. So thank you very much. Once again, if you're in Las Vegas between now and at least September, Thursday through Monday. Every single night.
And it's great. You come to a 5 o'clock show, you get your whole evening ahead of you.
You know how ecstatic we are to actually be able to go out after this
your
and go
whole
enjoy a
night,
dinner?
Yeah, beautiful.
It actually makes more sense. I don't understand why we don't do this more often, to be quite frank.
Well, I'm the first. I'm a pioneer.
You are a pioneer.
There's no other comedy show at 5 o'clock.
Nobody's doing that. It's just you.
They don't have the guts.
Just you. Well, until next time, where can they find you on the internet? Where is the spiritual healing of Tommy Lama?
TommyLama.com.
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 What about on Twitter? Are you on Twitter?
At Tommy Savitt.
See, there you go.
S-A-V-I-T-T.
Two T's at the end of that.
Yes, .com.
.com.
Yeah.
You don't have a
No, I'm kidding. It's at Tommy Savitt. And Instagram to Tommy Lama. I have great photos with Chris Angel. Last night I was with the beautiful Dina Martin.
Love that. Love that. Saw the photo of that.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
No, I'm truly happy for your success.
Thank
always
you.
An entertaining time to the three times that I've now seen you. Thank you once again. Again, follow Tommy Savitt. Google Tommy Lama. He's on there. You'll find him. He is the guy. Once you see him, you'll know what the Tommy Lama is and what he looks like. Go enjoy yourself when you're in Las Vegas again here at the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana in beautiful, chilly Las Vegas, Nevada.
And now we must make room for Rich Little.
We are going to leave as the great Rich Little comes into the green room and does his show.
Yes.
All righty. Until next time, guys.
Namaste.
Special thanks once again to the Tommy Lama for being on the Predictably Drunk podcast, for allowing me to storm the castle there and be inside one of the best green rooms I've ever been in at the Laugh Factory in Las Vegas. And if you are in Las Vegas between now and September, go check out his show. Let him know that Sam Marcoux sent you, and he'll be happy to charge you full price for a ticket. It's the least that he can do, ladies and gentlemen. But the Tommy Lama, just a fantastic guest. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. I enjoyed doing the interview, and thanks again for putting me on stage at the Laugh Factory. That was a thrill. Thank you very much, Tommy. And with that being said, speaking of things, speaking of news, which we weren't, but perhaps we should, it's time for stupid drunken news. And I found this article. I thought I'd share it with everybody out of Paris, Arkansas, which, yes, ladies and gentlemen, there is a Paris, Arkansas. An inmate who escaped a northwestern Arkansas jail showed up at a nearby bar a week later, ordered a beer, and declared he was turning himself in. You heard that right. This guy escaped from jail in Arkansas, was missing for a week, nobody knew where he was, and then he was re-caught because he walked into a bar, ordered a beer, and told the bartender that he was turning himself in. The Arkansas Democrat Gazette reports that 45-year-old Sean Higgum turned up Tuesday night at Mitch's Place in Paris. That's right. The bar was Mitch's Place. I assume it was a bar. It might have just been Mitch's Place. You know, like, he just showed up at the dude's house and he's got a bar in his garage. Who knows? I mean, it's Arkansas. Anyway, showed up Tuesday night at Mitch's Place in Paris, about 6 miles from the Logan County Jail. He was wearing a dirty prison uniform and covered in insect bites. So keep in mind of the timeline here. This is a week after he escaped from prison, and he's still wearing a dirty prison uniform and covered in insect bites. Something tells me, and when you add all this up, that this man had not showered in a very long time, at least a week, if not longer. The bar's owner, who I'm guessing his name is Mitch, considering it's Mitch's Place, called the police saying Higgum was there and he wanted to turn himself in. Higgum was drinking a beer when police arrived. He surrendered without incident. So let's just get this straight. He picked a lock, like some sort of cartoon character, gets away. Nobody's seen him. There isn't really like an APB or anything for this prisoner. They're just kind of like, well, I guess he wins because he left. He shows up a week later still wearing the jail outfit, which, by the way, I don't know where he was for that week, but he was clearly wearing the jail outfit the entire time, which means somebody had to have seen him and gone, hey, that guy should probably be in jail. I should call. But apparently not. Covered in a dirty, tattered prison outfit, as well as insect bites everywhere, which, my God, I can only imagine the size and type of insects that are happening in Arkansas. Shows up to Mitch's Place, knocks on the door, comes inside, orders a beer, and tells Mitch, presumably, go ahead and call the cops. I'm ready to go back. That, ladies and gentlemen, is incredible on so many levels. A lot of them I just pointed out to you. But I think the thing that stands out to me the most of everything is that he escaped jail, was gone for a week, and was still in Arkansas. And Arkansas must be so bad of a place to live, just in general, that he walked into a bar and surrendered back to the cops so that he could go back to prison. I mean, my God. Remind me to never go to Arkansas. It just seems like I bet you that's what happens. People go to Arkansas, then they just start admitting to crimes that they never even did, hoping they can go to prison where they can find like a decent meal and maybe you know, a better lifestyle. Anyway, that is Predictably Drunk, the podcast. Smart people talking about stupid things. That was stupid drunken news. That was the Tommy Lama, and that was Matt having a child and me drinking a terrible beer from Sierra Nevada. That is your episode. If you want more, go to predictablydrunk.com. Go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. Give us a quick review. We love it. We need it. It helps us out tremendously. What else helps us out is when you go to predictablydrunk.com, click on the amazon.com link, do all your shopping, no hidden fees, no extra charges, just helps out the show a little bit. We get a couple dollars kicked back our way every single time you do that. It helps us out. You want to help us out, right? You're our friends. And you can find me Sunday, July 10th at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco, California for the 5th annual Summer Comedy Bash Festival of Love, I don't know what it's called, but Kabir Singh's going to be there. Miles Weber's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Kasim Bentley's going to be there. That's a fire show just right there. So go ahead, grab your tickets. Tickets are going fast. We'll see you there. Until next time, keep drinking.
You've been listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things with your host, Sam Marcoux, and that other guy. What was his name again? Oh, it doesn't matter. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and find the complete catalog on predictablydrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking.
Passenger, that's paracetic. I don't think that anyone or anything is good enough.